Hello, everybody, and welcome back to KPCRadio.com. Today is Thursday, November 30th. I'm your host, Skylar Lester, and you're listening to Exposure, where we shine light on notable figures in the world of photography. Here in the studio, I have concert photographer David Turcotte, who has photographed more than 500 bands throughout his career. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thanks for the introduction. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to have you on. So you've photographed musicians from Rob Zombie to Kendrick Lamar. How is it that you got involved in the music scene?
Well, it's funny. I never sought it out. It actually kind of fell into my lap. I had a couple of friends who had a music blog called Tri-State Indie, www.tristateindie.com, based out of Philadelphia. And I happened to have just a DSLR camera. And for all you geeky Nikon fans, it's the Nikon D80, if you guys, anyone remember that camera? D70.
I started with the D60.
Going back. So I started with that. I just had it laying around. I think it was a gift or something with a little zoom lens. And a friend of mine said, hey, what are you doing tonight? I need a photographer last second to go shoot Devo.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, okay, well, I love Devo, and but I know nothing about cameras. So I was like, all right, I'll just give it a go. So I showed up, and I shot Devo at an outdoor festival in Philadelphia. And I had no idea what I was doing. I got back all the images. They were all grainy and dark. And I thought, okay, I need to figure this out. So over the next few months, I picked up additional gigs with my friend's blog, and obsessed over cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, just what is ISO? What the heck is going on with the shutter speed? Why are images blurry? Mm-hmm. So I ended up investing in some better cameras and full frame stuff, and ended up shooting quite extensively with Tri-State Indie. As they grew and got involved in bigger and bigger festivals and concerts, mm-hmm. I just kind of figured that out, you know, that I really, really love to do this. I love music, and mm-hmm. I loved photography, and it was just kind of a perfect match to make a few extra bucks and, you know, go out on a Wednesday night and go shoot some of my favorite bands, you know.
Definitely.
It was a blast.
Yeah. So it wasn't really as much formal training as it was just getting out there and shooting and learning trial and error.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Just total trial by fire. I mean, I remember being in, so when you shoot concerts, you usually get the first two or three songs of each band, right? So if mm-hmm. it's a show, there's four or five bands. I equate it to almost playing a sport, right? Mm-hmm. It's very similar to sports photography. You've got, you know, three songs, you know, maybe that's 9 minutes total. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, other photographers in the photo pit. It's dark. It's the worst lighting conditions possible. Mm-hmm. It's hot. It's sweaty. And, you know, I'm, you know, shoulder to shoulder to the photo, like, what ISO setting are you at? You know, what shutter speed should I be at? You know, mm-hmm. It started off as a lot of that. And then, you know, as you get better with your practice and put things into Photoshop and Lightroom and hone down your editing process, I got better and better. And mm-hmm. as I got better, the opportunities got better. So I went from shooting Tri-State Magazine to The Waster, which was a pretty big in Philadelphia and New York and throughout, all the way up to getting published eventually in the New York Times.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just one of those things that happened organically over a course of just a couple years. Yeah, it was really cool.
And you mentioned Philly. Is that where you are from originally?
Originally from Los Angeles.
Okay.
My biological father lived in New York City. But we just ended up in Philly through just moves, and eventually we did graduate school. Nothing related to photography. Mm-hmm. But lived in Philly for almost 5.5 years. And Philadelphia, for those of you who've never been, has the best music scene. And I would argue better than anywhere in the country. I mean, we're now seeing bands like you mentioned in our off radio conversation about Dr. Dog, but you're seeing guys like Dr. Dog and the War on Drugs and the Roots and all of these bands that have come up organically through Philly, and it's continuing. So just kind of starting off in that local music scene and rubbing elbows with a lot of these artists, I think it really helped prepare me as well, you know, from eventually moving on to New York City and working with Live Nation and working for some of the big media companies and getting images published. So really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's quite a climb. And as far as the assignments, I mean, when you're working for large, you know, groups like Live Nation, for instance, are you getting assigned the concerts, or are you kind of like bringing these photos to them and saying, hey, you got to run this, it's a good band?
So it's a really interesting, this is really good for, especially if any, it's a good question for, especially for anyone interested in concert photography. So a lot of times what happens is you end up meeting a contact, usually like the PR person or some intern for the marketing, who's tasked to find photographers to cover all those shows. And you essentially get on a list of photographers, and every month through these different magazines, whether it's Brooklyn Vegan or Spin, usually there's a list of photographers, and you get you kind of get these emails where it say who wants to do what show, mm-hmm. and so you kind of you put in for the shows that you want to cover,
right. Jump on it, yeah.
And then it's a matter of just being kind of assigned out. What a lot of photographers do as well is, and it gets kind of tricky with licensing and depending on who you're shooting for, right? But a lot of us run our own music blogs. Mm-hmm. So I have a website which is, will be active probably in a couple days. Mm-hmm. I have to renew my ISP, but at www.thefullframe.com. So I created my own music blog. And a lot of times if there were artists that I liked, I would reach out to the artist PR directly, mm-hmm. and get photo passes that way. So it was always kind of the climb to see what concerts and shows that you could get into and stay, mm-hmm. as busy as possible. So,
because if you don't ask, you don't get in. So.
If you don't ask, you don't get in. And I will be honest with, especially for all those who are just starting out in this, you could be shocked at the amount of access you can get by just sending out a simple email. I mean, bands large or small are always looking for PR work, and it's a really great way to get your name out there, to get retweeted. A lot, mm-hmm. of times if the artists like what you're posting, they'll retweet it. You'd be surprised. I think I've been retweeted by everyone from Megadeth to a lot smaller bands, and that it helps, mm-hmm. them and helps you.
Yeah, I saw even Rob Zombie's website, you know, you're on there too.
So. Oh, am I? I didn't even know that.
I
good to
that.
Know. Cool.
So it's really cool. Have you ever had issues with, like, proper attribution, like credit for your photos, people taking them without permission?
Yeah, there's been some of that. You'll every now and then you'll see your image pop up on someone else's website. Or what happens is, and this is where there's a lot of conversation about licensing, where the artists themselves will retweet, mm-hmm. your photos or use your images on their website or their publication materials without your permission.
Right.
So if you have a watermark, you'll see, hey, they photoshopped that out somehow, or, mm-hmm. they cut you out. Or you'll see their marketing companies doing the same thing. People are generally pretty good, and for a lot of the bigger acts that you'll see, everyone from Justin Bieber to Paul McCartney, they have very, very strict rights grabs. So, mm-hmm. you'll basically sign your life away from using any of those images without, mm-hmm. their permission. But for a lot of the other small bands that don't have those kind of legal documents, if you will, upon, mm-hmm. shooting their shows, it's a battle. You know, because, yeah. the artists oftentimes don't respect the photographers as much as we would like, mm-hmm. or they don't know the laws or the rules around the rights to your own photos. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, a lot of photographers, and for those of you listening, don't know the legality of your images and what you can use them for and what you can't. So, mm-hmm. it's a fine line, but it does happen, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're shooting in concert venues, it can be pretty difficult with the lighting situation and the crowds. So what is your trick to getting a really solid concert shot?
Wow. So I'd say there's three things that you have to consider when being a photographer in a music setting. For one, gear does matter. I don't care what any photographer says. Gear matters. If you're shooting with crop sensor cameras that don't perform well in low light, your images are going to be a little muddier and grainier, right? Mm-hmm. Also, it's dark and things happen fast. So if you've got let me think of an artist, for example, Neon Trees, okay? There's a band, amazing shoot, bright, beautiful lights, but the guy is like a laser beam on the stage, all over the place, jumping, mm-hmm. around. So you need to have a camera that can handle a high ISO to really slow down and stop the action. Mm-hmm. So it's all about your lenses, guys. Fast 2.8 non-variable aperture zooms. That helps. I think the third thing is etiquette. you know, you gotta know, you don't want to be putting your head in someone else's shot. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be too overly anxious where you're chasing around the artist. So I think part of it is you need to know the music. Mm-hmm. For one, for example, a guy like Marilyn Manson, I think you, I'm not sure if you mentioned him, but Rob Zombie. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you only get one song. And the artist may not respect you that much. So you might get the darkest song or like the, you know, the one where they just really, you know, just you might be like 3 minutes, right? Or a minute mm-hmm. of the intro. So one, you kind of know if you know a little bit about the artist, but you have to be able to anticipate. So if, where the big booms are, where the big cannons and the explosions might be if they're mm-hmm. using pyrotechnic, or if it's a punk band, you know, if they're going to do a big jump off the riser, you have to be able to capture that, mm-hmm. make sure your shot's in focus so that anticipation is really key. And then just general timing. I mean, you can't be stuck thinking about what your aperture is and what your shutter right. speed is and how many shots you have left on your card or what the next guy is doing. So mm-hmm. I think all of those things really go into that. And then I think most importantly is just your eye, just being able to frame the shot. When you're running around a million miles an hour, to get the guy right in the frame where you want to is almost mm-hmm. impossible. So yeah. being able to frame your shot and then being able to properly edit it so that everything isn't washed out red, or you know how to frame a shot even in post just to make things look super clean. That's super important.
Mm-hmm. So. And with what you were talking about a little bit, comparing it to sports, you know, it does sound like that when you're talking about the timing. You know, if you know the plays, if you know the song, then you're able to really know when that moment of, you know, jubilee or dejection or whatever it is in sports, you know, apply the same thing to music.
Absolutely. And you see a lot of photographers, especially new photographers and concert photographers, they're out there with their big, huge cameras and, you know, just spraying away.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one approach to do it. But I think, you know, you see the guys that are really good. And I've been fortunate to work around some of the best of the music photography. If you want to give a shout out to my buddy Donna Distortion out in Brooklyn, or Joe Papio Photography, these guys are incredible. And, I you know, the difference between them and most new photographers, they know how to anticipate it. They've done it enough times. It's second nature. And the way they frame the shots, their use of lighting is really cool. It's something I'm continually trying to develop and feel like I'm good, but it could always be better. And in concerts, it's interesting because the lighting is completely unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You could be using nothing but front red washes or blue washes, which, by the way, your camera sensors hate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it looks underexposed, it's completely overexposed, or red, which is just very difficult to work with. Or the lighting's changing where you have no front light. Or just 100% backlight,
yeah.
which makes it hard for you to focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all of these different challenges, very similar to sports, but I would argue that it might be even more difficult because on a football field, you've got pretty much white light coming down, right?
Mm-hmm.
While the action may be fast, you're not dealing with those extra variables.
True, very true.
So it's a super challenging and fun exercise, if you will.
Yeah, and with regards to light, do you ever use a flash unit or is it all ambient light?
So most concerts, they will never allow you to wear flash. Yeah, it's very encouraged. And if you did bring a flash to the photo pit, you're going to get some looks.
Mm.
So for one, you're flashing the artist right in their face.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're photographing a guy like Tom Petty, who I got to fortunately photograph before his recent passing, which is so sad.
Mm.
You know, guys like that, they don't want to be flashed in the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and it's rude for the other photographers, too. Here you are photographing something, and then someone else's flash is either jumping into your shot, which
right.
is messing with your
ruining
exposure.
Your shot, yeah.
Sometimes it could be really cool. It's called a catch flash. Sometimes you can do that. Other artists, and I've done some of this, and a lot of it, actually, you know, will allow you to use flash, especially if you're photographing for the band.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you starting out in concerts, again, get out to your local bars and restaurants. Bring your Canon or your Nikon TTL flashes and set them up off camera. Put them underneath the drum snare, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them behind the artist. Put them on the side of the stage, and really you can have fun creating your own light. But typically in a major concert venue mm-hmm. or anything larger than a few hundred people, flash is a big time no. Yeah,
yeah.
You're dealing with what you got.
Mm-hmm. Which is challenging, but it, you know, it gives you that really awesome look where you can see all of the the lights and the patterns and what the artist is trying to show the audience. You get to kind of capture that as it was in the scene.
Absolutely. And it's something you can play with. Like, a lot of the lights, you see these major artists, the lights move back and forth, you know? And so you get that light that just frames the artist perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting for that moment.
Yeah, and maybe the artist doesn't move around a lot, but you can play with the light and you can play with the framing. Absolutely, it's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Tom Petty. I did want to ask you, was there a certain moment during that concert that was kind of like a highlight that you'd like to share?
Well, okay, I got to be honest. I was not a huge Tom Petty fan before actually seeing Tom Petty live.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think for a lot of photographers, you know, whatever it is, you're shooting sports, after a while it's like, okay, whatever, it's another band.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the guys like Tom Petty and the Paul McCartneys of the world. It's like, okay, I can't wait to see this. Never was a huge fan of Tom Petty until I saw him live. And he was super cool to the audience. I mean, I'm standing 15 feet from the guy. This was at, I think, Firefly Music Festival. He's a killer. I mean, when you see that band play and you see the energy from the audience and some of the stories that he tells and how he interacts with the audience, totally newfound respect for the guy. And I'm actually really grown to like his music. You know, sometimes it kind of takes you to see a live band to kind of really either love them or hate them, right?
Or hate them, yeah. But I've been there too, where there are some artists, maybe they're older artists that I haven't really had a chance to listen to or whatever. I think, Patti Smith? That was a show that I saw live that I was like, how have I never listened to this before? This is amazing.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's, I mean, if an artist can perform well live, then it shows they truly know their craft, you know?
Absolutely.
Anyone can tweak and record and,
sure,
you know, over and over again until it's perfect. But if you're doing it live and you captivate the audience, it's talent.
Oh my God, even if a band's horrible live, but their energy is good, you know, it adds to it, right?
Yeah, definitely. You touched on it a little bit, but how do you go about gaining access to the press pit? Is it mainly just emailing people, or do you apply online?
Well, there's multiple ways to do it. A lot of times it depends on who you're shooting for. So if, let's say that you are a staff photographer or working with a venue like Live Nation, you know, it's sometimes it's as simple as responding quickly to the emails that they put out for the shows that they're looking coverage for, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're blogging or you're doing your own music site, a lot of times it's as simple as just reaching out to their PR people. So you can pretty much go to any band, big or small, find their little Facebook page or their website, figure out who their media presence is. For example, like Big Hassle Media, it's a very large marketing and PR firm for major musicians and artists and labels. You know, you can reach out to the contact from Big Hassle, and it's funny, they'll get back to you within seconds.
Wow.
And you reach out to them maybe 1 or 2 days before the show. Hey, I'm David. This is my blog. I love your band. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as just reaching out. I'd love to have to shoot them first 3 songs. You know, can that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Another little secret is sometimes you can get in for the opening bands. So let's say you're trying to shoot for a band that's maybe in the middle, like you mentioned Dr. Dog. Maybe Dr. Dog has given away all of their press passes, but let's say it's a local group that's opening up.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to them directly or reach out to their media company. A lot of times that a photo pass is a photo pass.
That's so clever.
You can get a photo pass for that, and next thing you know, you're shooting the whole night.
And they're probably a little more likely to say yes.
Absolutely.
They need the exposure,
yeah. The one thing I will say that helps photographers is if you can write.
Mm-hmm.
If you can write, you can get all the access you want, because the one thing that a lot of photographers don't want to do is write. And if you write, you know, you'll get work from other periodicals for your own stuff. That's one of the skills I think that is just unheralded and needs to be talked about. I think you had mentioned to me about being able to do multiple things, and something we relate to our students, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that ability for photographers to write will oftentimes get you a lot of access, because the photos are easy to come by a lot of times in concerts. I mean, who doesn't want to go and shoot their favorite band, right,
mm-hmm,
on a Friday night, get a free ticket,
right,
get access to the front of the stage, get to hang out? But it's those who can write, I think, that it can sometimes even give that much more of a level.
So when it comes to your blog, do you do quite a bit of writing on there?
Absolutely. So for my blog, I started off just kind of doing reviews of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm such a music cynic that I ended up hating almost half of what I saw just because it's either local or I just didn't like it. And what I found is I actually started gearing my photo blog to photography. So I would go in, like a band like Dillinger Escape Plan, who would just come out for the first 2 minutes with strobes, like flashing strobes. I mean, try shooting with a flashing strobe. You're lucky to even get any bit of light at all, or it'd be pitch black. And, you know, writing about those kind of experiences to either help other photographers or just talk about gear, things that, you know, techniques that we would use, and a little bit about the band. You know, those are kind of things that I would focus on. But if writing for a magazine like Tri-State Indie, where I did a significant amount of writing, I would write about the show, the venue, sometimes make it funny about how I slipped on some ice on my way in, you know, or I didn't get past the door. You know, I try and make it interesting for readers, and I think the magazine appreciated that kind of take.
Yeah, definitely. You don't, you know, because sometimes, as you said, even with photographing the bands, it can become a lot of the same. And so if you're reading about music and you're an avid blog reader, then you kind of want something a little bit more anecdotal and personal.
Totally. I mean, who, you know, think about it, you know, for photographers, you're right at the stage. So it's a really different experience than a lot of than your average concert goer, right? I mean, who's you know, doesn't want to maybe go to the front because then they would have to use the bathroom later on, right? And then you're walking through a sea of 800 people, but trust me, you know, so it's a really cool experience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And do you mostly cover concerts in Los Angeles, or have you been around the country to
I've done a few things in Los Angeles, but for the predominantly for bulk of my career, I've relocated back to LA for about 2 years, and I have two young babies, so I'm kind of waiting for things to calm down at home a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But bulk of my work was done in Philly and then New York City. So I lived in New York for about 3 years, 4 years, almost 5 years, doing concerts. I probably shot 2 to 3 shows a week.
Wow.
For 4 years. I mean, so it adds up, you know, big and small, local, gigantic shows, New Year's shows. So I really, you know, it's kind of a passion, and there wasn't a lot of money in it for me. I think my first passion is counseling and being a community college counselor, which I hear here at Pierce, but, you know, close second is the concert photography. I just love it. I'm a music aficionado, and, you know, the ability to just jump on a train in New York, be at Madison Square Garden in 30 minutes, see your favorite band, and then be home in 2 hours, you know, editing photos is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to do that is awesome. LA is a little different. I gotta, you know, I live in Long Beach. I have to travel, yeah. Parking, right? Traffic. It's a little harder.
It's a long haul, but I feel like New York, LA, like these are music meccas. You know, this is where a lot of bands roll through. So it's
everybody
a good place
goes
to be.
Through.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through.
My experience in Florida was having to try to find shows in Georgia and other places where the bands would go because they weren't coming by my town, you know. So
that's
out
right.
Here, it's like there's a concert every night in every venue.
On every day of the week.
And so many possibilities. You did mention the your position as a counselor here at Pierce College. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what is it that you like about helping students?
Well, I was a lost community college student. So I had parents that, you know, hadn't done a traditional education, didn't really know what to do. And, you know, when I was in high school, I played in bands. I was a musician, and I was in some, you know, did pretty well for the age and for the scene in Long Beach, California at the time. You're talking about, I'm going to date myself here. This is going back to like the mid to early 90s. So Sublime and No Doubt and Real Big Fish and bands that later became, you know, players and people that eventually evolved into things like the Mars Volta. And, you know, these are all people that I grew up around playing music and doing shows with.
Wow.
And so I thought, you know, hey, I'm 18. I know everything. Like, whatever. I'll go to community college, but I'm going to be a rock star. Duh. So, but later on, you find out, you know, hey, whoops, I should have taken more classes. I should have taken my education seriously. So I went from being, you know, a kid who thought he knew everything to being a late bloomer when it came to my education. And I worked in college admissions and got these odds and ends jobs and eventually really fell in love with education and really wanted to pursue a master's in counseling and worked in New York City as a community college counselor for one of the largest institutions in the country, LaGuardia Community College, for some programs that were doing amazing things. So we were graduating students at extremely high rates and We were at one time the model for Obama's Free Community College Initiative. Wow. So I really found a lot of success in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can't tell from meeting me, but I'm really passionate about helping students get through their education, finding what their calling is, and just kind of guiding them through. That's what I really love to do. And I love to see you guys succeed. So
it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, you're giving back. And, I mean, I've met with you once, and it was so helpful. I feel like I accomplished more in that 20 minutes than I had in a couple years. So
yeah, you guys are, you know,
we appreciate what you do.
I appreciate you guys more than you know.
So. So we are a little tight on time, but I wanted to talk about it seems like music is one of the largest components of your life, mm-hmm. because not only are you documenting these bands, writing about them, but you also are making music yourself. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your endeavors in music?
Sure, I'll keep it brief, but I do have a band called Thieves and Tyrants, and we're influenced a lot by, you know, reggae and ska, and really for me, gypsy music, like the sounds of Django Reinhardt, the old gypsy jazz stuff, and punk, you know, like bands like Gogol Bordello.
I was just gonna say.
Oh yeah, yep. Yeah, totally. There's a lot more. But these are some of our influences. So I play with a group of guys who are just way better musicians than I am. I write a lot of the music, and we're playing out. We're finishing a little five-song EP, which will be available, and you can check us out at Thieves and Tyrants at Facebook. On Facebook, I think you just Google that,
yeah,
Thieves
yeah.
and Tyrants. So I'm neither, but I like the name. But yeah, check it out. You know, these are guys that have been playing in Long Beach music scene for years, and they're amazing.
That's awesome. So, and what instrument do you play?
I play in this band. I play guitar, a little bit of lead guitar. Mostly guitar. I play a little bass here and there.
That's so awesome. Well, I have a final question for you before we wrap it up. If you could go to any concert, even if the artist is no longer living, which show would you choose to go to and photograph?
Wow. So
it's a toughie.
So I grew up a huge Beatles fan. I love the Beatles. I mean, it would probably be, I mean, you're talking about anybody, right?
Anybody.
Oh, my God. So that, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see, like, the early Beatles, you know, when they were wearing leather and playing in small caverns in Germany. I mean, that would be awesome. I'd love to go and do something like that. And then I could fast forward in time and be a multimillionaire with all the image, right?
Absolutely.
I think another fun one to do would be, like, maybe something like Bob Marley or something in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
or Beethoven. Can we do that? Can we go back that far?
That would be awesome. Why not? Yeah, there are no rules.
Mozart. that's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, those are some good answers. So, as always, I want to share your links with our listeners. Make sure they can check out your photography as well as your band's music. So, where is it that they can?
So, I've got Tumblr. I've got I'm not a big Twitter, but I got Tumblr. You can Flickr, Facebook. Instagram. So if you just Google David Turcotte Photography, I'm sure you can find a medium that you like. I'm also getting my website back up and running to get some things going. So if you want to check out the fullframe.com, as in full frame camera, see, camera pun, the fullframe.com, you can check that out. That should be back up and running. And hit me up if you guys have any questions or just want to go shooting.
Awesome. And we'll definitely link those URLs in the description box below. So make sure to check out his photography as well as the music. And I want to thank you so much, David, for joining us.
Thank you, Skylar. It's an honor.
And for KPCRadio.com, I'm your host, Skylar Lester. Have a wonderful evening.